this is so good. This morning I got up at 5 o'clock, and I went in the living room with a cup of tea, mug of tea, and all I remember was saying to the Father, I belong to you. I want to be in your presence today. For the next 2 hours, I could barely remain upright. I was staggering about. Eventually, I flopped in a chair and I just lay there. And it was 7 o'clock, got to wake Dot up. And I can't get up from here. The weight of God's presence is so great. And eventually, I dragged myself through to the bedroom and I got Dot to her tea. And then more waves of God's glory. And I said to Dot, I don't know if I can drive this morning. I just... like being drunk. And it's being what Dot just talked about, out of control and in His control. And God wants us to get out of our control into His control, where the Holy Spirit takes over and you don't have to do anything except let Him. So it's great to be here. I just had no idea what was going to do, whether anyone would preach this morning. But I'm here, so I might as well do it. I want to just read you, if you'd want to turn there to John chapter 6 with me. Jesus had just fed the 5,000 and then He sailed across the Lake Galilee. And when He disembarked, they'd all seen where He was going, so they all ran around the edge and they were there ready to meet Him. And He basically figured out that they were there for the bread. And so He told them that. So then in verse 28... then they asked Him, what must we do to do the work God requires? It's a kind of a spiritual question. And Jesus answered, the work of God is to believe in the one He has sent. Just underline that again. What is the work of God? What does God ask you to do? Does He ask you to do anything beyond that? He says the work of God is to believe in the one that He has sent. He didn't ask you to do anything beyond that. He said, the work of God, the thing that God requires of us, is to believe in the one He has sent. He is the one who came, who died on the cross, who shed His blood, and paid the price for everything that separated us from the Father, and reconnected us back to the Father, and said, if you believe in me, all you have to do now is have faith in what I've done for you. Believe in what God has done, and you have everything that God has promised. There's nothing else that you need do. So I just came to understand that faith is really just believing God. Faith is just believing God. Faith isn't some sort of thing you've got a tank on the side called my faith tank. And you've got to kind of somehow boost it up with a pump, you know, and you've got to get the tank up so that you've got some faith in the tank. Faith is just believing God. There's nothing else that you're required to do except to have faith is to believe God. Many think that faith is a matter of willpower. It's a thing that's something that's self-generating. I've got to produce faith in my life. I've got to do something to pump my faith level up. And you know, we've all been this route, and I've probably been the worst of all of you, where I used to think that faith was the response to my proclamation and quoting of the scriptures of God. So if somebody came to me and said, oh, I've got a headache, I said, praise God, He heals all your diseases. Somebody said, I got no money. Jesus said, don't worry. So don't worry. And so I was like this walking kind of commentary on the Bible. And I thought this was faith. And I thought the more I can say these things, the more faith I would have. And when I got in a prayer meeting, I thought the more I could speak scriptures, the more effectively I was praying. But I was misguided into thinking that faith is something to do with my willpower. You know, it's been called the sort of chainsaw stuff. You know, this is faith, guys. You know, we're believing, brother. Amen. You and I together, we believe this. It's not faith. And I'll show you that it isn't. It's so interesting. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 3, please. Go with me to verse 7. And this, just before we read it, remember this book is written to Jewish people. It's written to Jews, so they have a certain understanding of what he's talking about. So as the Holy Spirit says, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. As you did in the rebellion during the time of testing in the desert, where your fathers tested and tried me and for 40 years saw what I did. That is why I was angry with that generation and I said, their hearts are always going astray and they have not known my ways. So I declared on oath in my anger, they shall never enter my rest. So the rest was the place they were heading towards, which was Canaan, their own land, where they would have rest from their enemies on all sides, where they would have everything provided for them as God had promised them. And God says, all you've got to do is believe in what I'm saying, what I'm doing. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God. It seems fairly straightforward that you just shouldn't have an unbelieving heart. Well, how do I go about not having one? But encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. We have come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end the confidence we had at first. So what was the confidence we had at first? When we got saved and we eventually said, Jesus is the Son of God, he paid the price on the cross for my sin, I am forgiven, and I am now a son of the Father. That was the confidence we had at first, right? So he says here, go back to verse 3, chapter 3 rather. We've come to share in Christ if we hold firmly till the end what we believed in the beginning. What brought us into that relationship with Jesus is what gets us through. As has just been said, today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did in the rebellion. What was the rebellion? The rebellion was their refusal, while they were trekking through the desert for 40 years, it was their refusal to believe God. It wasn't that they didn't like desert living. It wasn't that they didn't like the diet. It's that they didn't believe God. That was the sin that kept them out of the promise of God. Out of the rest was simply that they didn't believe. And who were those who heard the message and who heard and rebelled? Were they not all those Moses led out of Egypt? And with whom was he angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned and whose bodies fell in the desert? Now, how did they sin? I mean, did they wear their prayer shawls the wrong way, or did they men not cut their beards the right way? Doesn't say that. It said, was it not those who fell in the desert? And to whom did God swear that they would never enter his rest? If not to those who disobeyed. How did they disobey? By not believing God. Because they disobeyed, by not believing God, they lost their place. So we see that they were not able to enter because of their unbelief, which is what disobedience is. You see, if God says, have faith in God, and you say, I don't have faith in God, what are you doing? You're sinning. You're disobeying God. You're saying, I don't believe you. I choose not to believe you. So, let's go on. Therefore, since the promise of entering his rest still stands, which is written to Jews who missed the rest thousands of years before this was written, let us be careful that none of you be found to have fallen short of it, of the rest. For we also have had the gospel preached to us, just as they did. But the message they heard was of no value to them, because those who heard it did not combine it with faith. What did I say faith was in the beginning? Believing God. They didn't combine it with believing God. Now, we who have believed enter that rest just as God has said, so I declare on my oath, they shall never enter my rest. And yet his work has been finished since the creation of the world, for somewhere he has spoken about the seventh day in these words, and on the seventh day God rested from all his work. And again in the passage above it says, they shall never enter my rest. It still remains that some will enter that rest. And those who formerly had the gospel preached to them did not go in because of their disobedience. What was their disobedience? They didn't believe God. Therefore God set a certain day, calling it today, when a long time ago he spoke through David, as was said before. Today if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, God would have spoken later about another day. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also, what? Rests from his own work. Shane, they're having a tough time with that kid. Father, help them. They just need some grace there. Bless them, Father. Thank you for that little one. Put peace in its heart, Jesus. Okay, read verse 9 again. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. Who are we? We are the people of God. Okay. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work. Now, you know what we used to say? We used to say we rest from our work on Sundays. But every other day we just still got to go for it full on. But that's not what God's saying here. God says that if you enter my rest, what is the rest of God? The rest of God is believing God. When you enter into the rest of God, you cease from your own work and you come to the place of rest as well. Let us therefore make every effort to enter that rest so that no one will fall by following their example of disobedience. So God says, I want you to enter into my place of rest. I don't want you to lose out because of your unbelief, which is sin. I want you to have what I have promised you, which is mine. The ultimate sin that keeps all of us out of the rest of God is our unbelief. The simple fact that we say, I believe that is your word, but I actually don't believe most of it. And I find it really hard to have faith to believe it. But God says, have faith. God says, believe me. God asks us to believe him. He's inviting us and saying, I want you to believe me. Only faith gets us salvation in the first place. You can't get saved through anything else. You have to believe that Jesus paid the price. You have to believe that you are free to have a relationship with the Father. You have to believe that, otherwise you can't go in. That's the entrance point. You know, I just want to say this, that the only way that you and I can ever come to the place of living in the rest of God is to let go Egypt, which was where the Israelites had come from, which is our former life, where we did the stuff we used to do. And we now have to let that go in order to enter the rest. We have to let go the old life and embrace what Jesus did for us, which is the entrance point into the new life. And you can't have the benefit of the rest if you're standing with one foot in the old life and one foot in the new life and miserable in between because you're doing the splits all the time. Jesus says, either you're that side or this side, but you have to decide. If you come to me, you have to have faith that I am your provider, that I am the one who's removed your sin, that I am the one who's connected you to the Father, that I have paid the price for you, that I have broken every curse and I have destroyed the power of every bondage over your life. And it won't be gone until you lift that leg and put it down the side and say, now I belong to Jesus. That's it. I've left the old land. I've left my spiritual Egypt behind and I've entered into the promised land, which is the rest of God. And without making that step, you will always be miserable. Because as long as I have one leg in my enemy's camp, he has rights to me. And we say, why do I see all this bad stuff happening? And he says, because you still have one foot in the enemy's camp. The rest of faith is lifting that and putting it down, planted in the kingdom now, standing before Jesus saying, I have faith in what Jesus has done. I believe he's the Son of God. I believe he came to save me. I believe he has set me free. And I believe he will continue making me walk in freedom for the rest of my life. And I will live forever with him. Until, brothers and sisters, we make that decision, you're always going to be miserable. You'll have happy moments, but mainly there's this fight going on all the time. Am I this side or am I that side? Why can't I have what these guys have? Why can't I just never be one of these guys that can really go for God? It's simple. And you know, it's really interesting. When you live in this camp here, you kind of unaware that there's a spiritual battle going on, you think that it's all pretty You know, we're pretty secular in our mindset, mainly. We believe in the natural world. We don't believe so much in the spiritual world. And the problem is that in this world, there are a lot of spiritual forces called demons who hate you. Jesus said the devil has come to steal, kill, and destroy, which means God says devil wants to do what? He wants to kill you. He doesn't want to just make your life miserable. He wants to kill you in the end. He will go and do whatever he can to kill you in the end. He will inflict you with disease, but he will also inflict you with habits which could lead to disease. He will inflict you with stress which could lead to disease. But his ultimate goal is your death, because he hates what God created in his own image. So the only way we can stop this guy, Psalm 91 verse 1 says, living under the shadow of your wing, we find security. We're safe. The trouble is, we're living a little under the shadow and a lot under the other place. And we're saying, why doesn't it work? And he says, because you've never come under the shadow where the protection is. Under the protection, you're safe, because God says you're safe there. You'll never be under threat in the place of safety, which is in Jesus. That's what the rest of God is. It's faith in what God has done for you and believing. So, rest then is established in us by what God sees in us because of the cross of Jesus. So you look and say, yeah, but you don't know my life. Wow. You know, I've been involved in some pretty bad stuff. And, you know, there's been a lot of stuff happening in my life which I'm really not that thrilled about. And God looks at you and he sees, not Christina, he sees the cross of Jesus Christ over your life. You are bathed in the blood of his Son. And Father looks at you and he sees his Son's blood. And he says, Christina, the righteous one. Christina's might have lived, I'm not suggesting you did, but let's take me, I'm the best example. I lived in the filth and the muck of the world, the worst it had to offer. But I don't live there now. I left there 30 years ago. I stepped over. And any devil that wants to accuse me of that cannot, because I am covered with the blood of Jesus. Now, what if I make a mistake along the way? What if I make a little slip into this world again and I make a mistake? God says in 1 John 1 verse 9, if we confess our sin, he is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's that easy for us because we have already been purchased. So you just take that leg and put it back here and say, Lord, I am so sorry. I went into that camp. I did not mean to do that, and I don't want to go back there again. I want to live with you. To have this place, then, of living in the land that God has for you, the one requirement is rest. Rest, which is the product of believing. Rest is what I'd have when I believe. You see, I wish there was a guy I knew in South Africa who's a great preacher. He still is. He called Robbie Rufus. He's a small, compact little guy. And one day I saw him. He had this really huge, massive guy who entered into Mr. Universe, you know, really rippling guy. He was in his church. And he got this guy to stand in the front. And he said, you know, this guy represents my Father just for the moment, my Heavenly Father. And he says, here I am. And I get saved. And he runs and he jumps. And this guy reaches out his arms and he catches Robbie in his arms. And Robbie's got his microphone. He says, come and get me now. I am safe. You see, it's a great picture to remember. I was going to ask Johan to come and catch me. I'll have mercy. Okay. We've got to get past the point of thinking that it's my willpower that will save me. If I can only just remain this side of the line. If I can only just keep speaking the positive word of God. If I can only stop myself from speaking negatively. If I can only stop myself from watching stuff I don't want to watch. If I can only stop myself from spending money I haven't got. If I can only stop myself from criticizing somebody else. But I just fail every now and again in this place. And so I think that my remaining in that place has all to do with my willpower to not do the wrong things. But God says, anyone who has left the old land now lives in my rest, in the promised land that I have for them. We've got to get rid of the idea that faith is a self-generating thing, that I've got to build my faith up. Faith is believing God. It's nothing else. What kept Israel out of the promised land? Their refusal to believe God. So what is it God say? You want to enter my rest? You've got to believe me. Believe everything I said. Believe every promise I ever made. What about faith comes by hearing, and hearing is by the word of God. So surely that's how I get faith. Well, yeah, it is. You know what this book is about? This book is about God and his relationship with us. So God says, the more you read this, the more you'll know me. The more you know me, the more you believe me. Faith is confidence in God's nature and God's love for us. That's all faith is. I am confident in God because of who God is, and that is all I can ever be. I think it's so exciting. This is so we can know him. Jesus came just to reveal the Father for me. My faith is, in a sense, trusting God. My faith, in a sense, is effortless. As soon as there's effort involved, it's not faith anymore. The moment I'm cranking it up with the chainsaw stuff, it's no longer faith. It's now unbelief. And I'm trying to crank it up to make it sound like it's faith. True faith is rest. No striving, no struggle. Comfortable in my Father's presence who loves me and will never reject me. That is what faith is. I want to read you from Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. But I'm going to read you, and this is not heresy, I'm going to read you out of the Message. You say, ooh, but that's not for serious Bible study, but it's really great. It gives you a good understanding of what God's saying. Okay, I'm going to read you from Galatians chapter 2, verse 19. This is Paul, the great apostle Paul. What actually took place is this. I tried keeping rules and working my head off to please God, and it didn't work. So I quit being a lawman so that I could be a God's man. Christ's life showed me how and enabled me to do it. I identified myself completely with him. Indeed, I have been crucified with Christ. My ego is no longer central. It is no longer important that I appear righteous before you or have your good opinion. And I am no longer driven to impress God. Hallelujah. Christ now lives in me. And the life you see me living is not mine, but it's lived by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm not going to go back on all that. Is it not clear to you that to go back on that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? Let me say that again. Is it not clear to you that to go back on all that old rule-keeping, peer-pleasing, pleasing everybody around me, religion would be an abandonment of everything personal and free in my relationship with God? I refuse to do that. I refuse to repudiate God's grace. If a living relationship with God could come by rule keeping, then Christ died completely unnecessarily. Remember that, guys. If I could be righteous by keeping a set of rules, Christ did not need to die. But because Christ died, I can live in the righteousness of God. Now, forgive me for the purists in the room who only believe in certain translations, that they're only the valid ones. But I think this might help some people, and I'm really hoping it will. But it's time for us to get delivered from two things: God-pleasing and man-pleasing. I can't impress God enough to save me. I can't live up to your expectation in order to get salvation. Doesn't matter what you think of me in the end. I love you and I want you to love me. But if you choose not to, I can do nothing about that. But your refusal to love me or love me has nothing to do with my relationship with my Father. My Father loves me. Now that's all I need. I don't need to impress anybody else. And I can never impress my Father. Even if you read the Bible forwards, backwards, 20 times in a year, Father will be no more impressed with you than he is with anybody else in this room. Father is not impressed with our dogmatic, hard-driven, lemon-sucking, looking like we're working hard to please God. Father really couldn't give a jot. Isn't that a relief? Now let me read you from Philippians. Ha ha. I'm going to read you from Philippians chapter 3. If you want to look in your Bible, that's great to check that this kind of is valid. Okay. The very credential these people are waving around as something special, I'm tearing up and throwing out with the trash, along with everything else I need, I used to take credit for. And why? This is Paul again. Because of Christ. Yes, all the things I once all the things I once thought were so important are gone from my life. Compared to the high privilege of knowing Christ Jesus as my master, firsthand, because everything I once thought I had going for me is insignificant. It's dog dung, forgive me. I've dumped it all in the trash so that I could embrace Christ and be embraced by him. I didn't want some petty inferior brand of righteousness that comes from keeping a list of rules when I could get the robust kind that comes from trusting Christ, God's righteousness. I gave up all that inferior stuff so I could know Christ personally, experience his resurrection power, be a partner in his suffering, and go all the way with him to death itself. If there was any way to get in on the resurrection from the dead, I wanted to do it. I was going all the way with Christ, even if it meant dying in the process. And for Paul, it did mean that. My job is to rest in the trust of the finished work of Christ. I have no other job. That's all God has asked you to do. Rest. Rest. So, wow. This morning the Lord said to me, one of the things he said while I was lying in my drunken state, he said, be still and know that I am God. Be still. And if you look at that word still in the Hebrew, it means be weak or be undoing of anything. Be effortless and know that I am God. In terms of my provision for my life, provision for my family, in terms of salvation for all of my family, in terms of healing for everybody I need to be healed, for terms of every one of your lives and your jobs and everything else that I concern myself about. God says, be effortless and know that I am God. I can do in you what nobody else can do. Do you know, Saturday night, so many people had such incredible encounters with God and they've been feeding it back to us. Did anybody give them a cool teaching to help them? I didn't hear one if there was one. Did anybody sit down and pray the soul case out for you so that something would happen? Did they go, did you go to fast? God, in his sovereignty, just started setting people free. Suddenly, the people of God began to realize that God loves you enough to welcome you into his presence. God has paid the price that you and the Father can be one now. Do you know what keeps most guys out of this place? They fall in some way, sin in some way, and feel God has rejected me and I can never come back to God. And so they stay in the outside. They stay in the place of removal from the presence of God because they are so riddled with guilt, which your enemy has done full on, because your enemy has every intention that you will stay out of God's presence. You know, when he came to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden as a serpent, he didn't bite them both and kill them. He's too clever for that. What he did is he sowed unbelief into their minds that God His word could not be trusted. And because he sowed unbelief, he continues to sow unbelief in every man that is born on the earth from then onwards. Doubting that Father loves you. Doubting God's goodness. Wow. Thank you, Father. Jesus says, Father God says, when you are weak, then I am strong. When you are at your lowest point, that's when my strength works the most. He says, my strength is made perfect in your place of great weakness. That's when I am the strongest. That's when the greatest things begin to happen in your life. When you are at your weakest, lowest point. Finally, remember Sean spoke on Saturday night about eagles. And he talked about eagles who just hold out their wings. And the thermals, they look for the thermals, and the thermals catch them and move them up very rapidly, hundreds of feet, hundreds of meters into the air. The key to being to catching the thermal is to keep your wings out. The key to being lifted on the wings of the Spirit and lifted up into the high places of God is to keep yourself poised and extended towards God. Do you know, when I wake up in the morning, I learned this from Pastor Colin. The first thing I do when I open my before I open my eyes, as the clock goes and I hit the clock, if I'm doing that, I say the first thing I say, good morning, Father, I belong to you. Father, my soul is yours. Father, my spirit is yours. Father, my body belongs to you. Father, I ask that this day I will live in your presence. I will live in relationship with you. Father, this day I want to do whatever you want me to do because I love you so much, Father. And then I'm kind of getting awake. But what I've done is I've positioned my heart as I'm planning to live the rest of that day. I put my heart in the place where I'm saying, God, this day I live with you, I walk with you, I do everything with you. Now, whether I have 4 hours to spend with the Lord or 4 minutes, doesn't matter if my heart is positioned in the right place. If I've got my heart positioned before Him, some days I have hours and some days I don't have hours available. But if my heart is positioned, then throughout the day I'm talking to Him all the time, no matter what's going on. I'm talking to Him about things that are going on. Why can I do that? Because I've left my spiritual Egypt. I've stepped over the line into my rest. And every morning I confirm, I live in rest. I don't live in striving anymore, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. It is so good to be set free. It is so good to come to the end of struggling. It's so good to come to the end of striving, the end of trying to do something to make you impressed enough with me that you won't beat me up. Father, thank you that you have no intention of beating me up. You want me to love you and you want to love me. Thank you that I can love you because you first loved me. Therefore, I'm always free to love you. And I thank you. I thank you with all my heart, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I want to invite you, if you want to this morning, if you want to say, hey, I've been 1 foot in Egypt, or I haven't been in Egypt, I don't think, but I want to be in the place of rest. I want to affirm that I'm living in the place of rest this morning. I want to affirm that from this day forward, I'm living in the place of rest because I choose to believe God. I choose to stop trying to make God impressed with me. I choose to stop trying to impress anybody because I am now a son of my Father. And if you would like that, just come up here as a statement, as a declaration. I have entered the rest of the Father now. I believe, and I'm entering into spiritual care, spiritual rest. I believe. I believe. Thank you. you, Father. If the musicians would come up and begin to worship. Hallelujah. Those who want to come up here, and I want to pray with you a prayer of agreement that you have left. You've made a decision. You're crossing the line this morning. I'm not standing on back there anymore. I've left that place. I give up on condemnation. I give up on guilt. I give up on a sense of worthlessness. I give up being the whipping dog of the enemy this morning. So that's it. The enemy's not there to beat me up because he can accuse me. I now live as a child of God. I've left Egypt. I've entered the place of rest. That's my inheritance now in Christ. Just where you're standing now, just lift your hands. Say, Father, I believe in your Son Jesus. I believe he has set me free. And I believe he has made possible for me to leave my old life and enter the place of rest. I want to say to you, Father, that I choose to believe you. From this day, I choose to believe you, Father. And I choose to walk from this day on in the place of rest. I give up trying. I give up working. And I rest in my Father's love. And I thank you. From now on, this is my place. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Father, I bless you for your family. And I pray, Father, for each one of them that they will experience your rest. Ha-ha, they will experience a freedom of striving, a freedom of condemnation. Never again will they need to impress the Father, for the Father already has paid the price through his Son. The Father says, now live in rest. You cease from your own work. You now live in my rest. Every day, in the name of Jesus. Just thank him in your own words. Thank him. Thank him. Never again. Never again do you have to try. I'm living in rest. Rest is my inheritance. Rest is my place. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's confirm this to you. Confirm your amazing love. Your rest, Father. You know something, guys? In the place of rest, you can happily receive healing, provision, forgiveness, Father's love in your place of rest. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the rest of God. The rest of God. Thank you for the rest of God. Thank you for your rest. Thank you for your rest. Thank you for your rest, Father. Thank you for your rest, Father. Now, whatever need you've got in your life right now, if you need your children to be saved or your family member, you need someone to you know you love and you want to see them walking in salvation, right now, as a son of God standing in the place of rest, to say to the Father, Father, I lift to you this need. I need money for study, or I need money for whatever. I need provision, and my family member needs your salvation today. I give up trying to get them to get saved, and I give them to you instead. Just give them to you. They might seem a million miles away from Jesus right now, but I just give them to you, Father, because they're not mine. I can't get them saved. Salvation is yours to do. So I leave them with you right now. I leave them with you. I don't have to do this now. If you've been worried about your finances, your job, how you're going to come out with a recession and everything else, I want you to know that a son of God will always be provided for. A child of God has no fear. Jesus said, do not worry. Therefore, the Lord says, do not worry. Rest is your inheritance today in Christ Jesus. If you're wondering about what your life's going to amount to, whether you'll get married, have children or not, or be a missionary, what you're going to do, God says today, do not worry. You belong to me now. I take care of you. I take care of you now. If you need healing in your body, need healing in your mind, in your life, God says today, you're my child. You do not have to worry about anything anymore. Ooh. Oh, thank you. My child, I have set you free. I've declared freedom. I've declared freedom. Your years of striving are over. Your season of abundance is upon you. Health, healing, salvation, freedom. Every curse broken, every bondage destroyed. Rest, 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 rest. Enter your rest. Enter your rest. Enter your place. Your place of rest. Your place of rest. Your place. Connect with your Father. Connect with your Father. Father, speak to you of his love. Let your Father speak to you of his love. Let your Father say to you, do not worry. Do not be concerned about the path that you would follow. I will show you. I will make a way for you. Rest. 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 Rest, 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 rest. Enter the rest of faith. You need never again impress God. You're a daughter of the Most High. Thank you, Father, Son of God. Want to tell you, the word says the swallow has found a nest near the altar. The nest is the place of abiding, of living. God wants you to find a home right near his altar, the place where your life of the daily sacrifice, the place of daily laying your life down, saying, here is my place of rest. here's where I live now. And the Lord says, the longing you have for more of His presence has been put there by the Holy Spirit. Because the Holy Spirit wants to draw you closer to the Father. And the Lord says, our position of rest is reinforced in the presence of God. So go to that place of rest. In Jesus' name.
His house also speaks of His provision. In the Father's house, we have access to the fridge. We have access to everything. It's protection. It's provision. It's a place of safety. Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father. Father, I want to thank you right now for the blood of Jesus that has broken every condemnation. Every lie of the devil is exposed. Every bondage is destroyed. Every curse is broken at the cross of Jesus Christ. We come against every lie, every condemning thought that enters into the hearts of your children, and we command them to go in the name of Jesus. You will not abide here. You will not remain. Take your thoughts that you've never done enough, or you've not done enough with your children, or something like that. I could have done more. Or with God, I could have done more. And God says, today that lie is destroyed. All you require to do is live in the rest. That is your place of abiding in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Isn't that great? What freedom. Hallelujah.